Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, the Chancellor of the Nevada System of Higher Education, Ray Hager, has the rundown.
Thanks, Sam. Today's guest is Dan Clayton. We'll talk about the rising crisis in student loans.
And coming up on the Power Pundit panel today, Aaron Johnson, Michael Hackett, and Dory Guy. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The resort at Red Hawk. The Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure. And the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Economic prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
So, who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Yeah, I've heard of them. They help to grow your trucking business?
You bet. Employee background checks, safety training. My claims even went down.
Sounds great, but expensive.
Well, they saved me 25% and my rates haven't gone up in, about 10 years.
So, do they work with builders?
Sure do.
That works for me.
Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
As an employer, did you know you can be held liable for negligent hiring? A background screening by Employer Links can uncover criminal records, like alcohol and drug convictions. It can verify the applicant's education, driving records, and professional licenses. Employer Links can check civil records, registered sex offender records, and social security fraud. Hiring the right person shouldn't be a gamble. Call Employer Links. Employer Links, protecting your investment.
Technology make our lives better. Will geothermal, wind, and solar energy be a bigger part of our future? Yes. And soon it will all be in our backyard. Learn more at nvenergy.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are very pleased to welcome back to the program Dan Klaich. He's the Chancellor of the Nevada System of Higher Education and a sucker for punishment. We invited you back right away and you came.
Great to be back, Sam.
No,
great.
Thank you.
Nice
pleasure
to be here.
Have you here. Wanted to talk about the study that Bruce James headed up. What was your takeaway from that study?
My takeaway from that study is we've got to do more with less. I think it's time for us to look at new delivery methods, new partnerships, new alignments, so that we can produce the graduates here in Nevada that we need with the resources that we have.
Does it change the way that the university system runs from having a rounded education to being more industry specific?
I don't think so. I will tell you, I'm very big on alignment right now, and I think alignment.
What does that mean?
Well, I think that means that we have to align our goals within the system with the state's goals. It's our job to help move the state forward. We have to align our curriculum with the K-12 partners that will be getting our value from. So I think it's absolutely critical that we have that kind of alignment, and that of necessity means that we're going to be producing graduates that our state needs. We're not abandoning our liberal arts basic education, though, Sam.
You know, Dan, outstanding student loans from a report from the Department of Education is at $800 billion. And I mention that because your undergraduate tuition is going up 13%. It's a concern because kids now have a difficult time paying off these student loans. They may have a more difficult time paying them off with a 13% hike in tuition. And also, what does this do to minority and poor kids that you know, that can't even get the loans, and it seems like it's everything stacked against these young kids financially.
I got to tell you, Ray, I think that's a great question, and I think it's the question that we've got to keep in mind, and it dovetails perfectly with Sam's question. As we raise the cost of education, we have to be mindful of the financial aid because we have a very, very big low-income and underrepresented minority population in this state. We cannot leave them behind, period, or we will never change the educational demographics of this state. So we've got to look at that. But I think on top of that, and I think this goes to your question again, Sam, we've got to be sure we're providing something of value in time. We've got to get our students in school and out of school and into the job market. So that they can get a meaningful job, start earning and paying off those loans. You know, taking 6, 7, 8 years to graduate is just not going to do it for students, and it's not going to do it for Nevada.
But Dan, I mean, the job market is so soft that you could get you could be a great student, get a good degree, and go out in the world, and you'd be lucky to work for Mike Pegram at a McDonald's.
It's another great question, and I've had that discussion with leaders in this state a number of times. But at some point, you've got to say, I choose to break the circle. I choose to put more graduates into the Nevada market because we know we're going to need them. If I follow that line of thinking, and I'm not criticizing your line of thinking, but if I follow it, we'll just drift forever. We will never change the economics of this state.
Specifically, what are you doing to help minorities and poor afford college education?
Well, the most important thing is we're setting aside 15% of every dollar of tuition we increase for need-based scholarships. And I think that's the most important thing, Ray. In a much more indirect way, though, we're partnering with the Center for Urban Education at USC and with WICHE to find out why those students aren't as successful as they should be. And we're trying to pinpoint where they fail and where they drop out so we can intervene at that point. But money first and facts second.
Okay. And that's coming all the way from K through 12 before it even gets to the university system where kids are failing along the way and we're having a hard time figuring out why.
Well, I got to tell you, that's why my number one partner in the state is Heath Morrison and 1A, and you can switch them depending on which end of the state we are in, is Dwight Jones. The most important thing that we can do for higher education in the state of Nevada is to see our schools improve. We know that. And, I was talking with Heath Morrison yesterday, and Heath has short-term strategies and long-term strategies. He's looking at improving his graduation rates with his 10th, 11th, and 12th graders, but he's starting back at pre-K so that pipeline will be involved in a more rigorous curriculum. Then we've got to align our curriculum with K-12 so that when kids graduate from high school, they graduate with the skills that we expect them to come to college to. We've talked about that partnership for a long time, Sam, but it's time to do something about that partnership, and I think that we're doing it now.
Your predecessor, along with Dwight Jones's predecessor, started out this process. It seems that we just haven't gotten anywhere with it, and you're still spending a ton of money at the university level on remedial education.
We are, and just remember that K-12 pipeline is 13 years, and so I can start something today, and you're not going to feel it for a long time. But I'll tell you, I think that we are getting somewhere. We're part of a nationwide consortia that has adopted Common Core standards. We have worked with K-12 to develop college and career ready standards. We are having a co-ownership of counselors between K-12 and higher ed. So I think we're getting somewhere. But this, again, is a theme that I talked to you all about. There's no quick fix here. Nevadans have got to understand that we got to put our shoulders to the grindstone, and there's a lot of hard work, years of hard work, to turn this around, because we didn't create this problem in a day, a month, or a year.
Okay, let's take a break. More with Chancellor Claytes when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for food, fun, friends, hot slots, and video poker. Join the best slot club in town, the Conductors Club at the Tamarack Junction, where you can earn free play and comp dollars on over 450 of the latest state-of-the-art slots and video poker machines. Play your favorite games and win cash, comps, free play, and other great prizes. The Tamarack Junction, where locals meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit on South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, Safe Ride Home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe voting campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with the Chancellor of the Nevada System of Higher Education, Dan Klaich.
Dan, there, with a, even with the rise in tuition, it seems like the population of Nevada's colleges and universities is on the upswing. What are your thoughts about buying unused hotels in downtown Reno as dormitories? You know, downtown is not too far from the university, and it seems like you got the infrastructure already there.
It's interesting point, Ray. We had a report on that at the last Board of Regents meeting, and our occupancy rate at UNR here in the dorms is 105%. We've turned some of our double rooms into triples. There's a new dorm going up, as you know, across the street from the old gym where you spent a lot of time. And when that opens up, we'll still be over 100%. Now, I think that dorms make dollars and cents because we can break even and make money on those dorms. I think we want to be sure which properties we're looking at because I think we want to maintain that campus environment. But right now we're finding our students want to live on campus and they're filling up our dorms, so I'd be open to that depending on the property.
I'm just thinking of two, the Montage and the Fitzgeralds. What are your thoughts on those two properties?
I'd be hesitant moving right into the casino core with the campus.
And that property is not available because they're going to be opening up here within the month. I want to ask you about the UNLV Arena project. Your thoughts about that and what it can do not only for the university but also for redevelopment.
I personally think that UNLV now, the stadium renovation, the university village surrounding it, is the single most important project that I've seen in my lifetime for UNLV.
Lifetime?
Lifetime. That project can change the face of that campus forever. It can turn it from a commuter campus into a residential campus. It can bring the city closer to the university. It's, you know, the word game changer has been used for that project. It's just that important. And I'll tell you, if it wasn't that important to UNLV, I would tell you it's that important to Nevada right now. Because that's a, depending on how you price it, a $500 to $750 million project, we could put a lot of people back to work right now, Sam, and pump a lot of money into the community. So I think that project is just absolutely critical.
How close to reality do you think that is?
You know, there was a report in the Las Vegas papers this morning where, and we talked about last time, we weren't successful in the legislature in getting the tax increment district for that, and the developers have gone back and tried to redesign that project to make it pencil without tax dollars. They think they can do it. We'll hear a report on that project in December at the Board of Regents meeting, so I'm still very hopeful.
You know, if done correctly, a college football team can bring a lot of investment and a lot of money into the university system. Of course, we don't have that at UNLV now because they play in Sam Boyd Stadium, which is quite a hump out of town. And people have said the key thing they need to get a good football program at UNLV is an on-campus stadium.
I just think that is so true, Ray. I mean, you know, if we were up in Oregon last week, you're on campus. You're at Notre Dame, you're on campus. You're at UNR, you're on campus. Part of the whole college experience, and I'm for completion, and I'm for jobs, and I'm for getting kids in and out. But part of the experience and part of the interaction with the community is intercollegiate sports. Like it or not, they're here. And I think you're exactly right in your observations, and I've got to tell you, anything I can personally do to make that project go, I'm going to do.
Doesn't freshman enrollment actually increase when, like, a UNLV or a Boise State, when they have a great football season, the next year freshmen want to come there?
It's incremental, but you not only have a different recruiting tool, and if you see UNR sent out a recruiting brochure this last week, a big glossy, and one of it was intercollegiate athletics, so they recognize that that's important. But this project will create an on-campus living environment, which again is a recruiting tool and it's a retention tool, because you get the kids there, you get them into the academic success center, and you keep them there and make them more successful. So it's critically important to the university for a whole lot of reasons.
I want to ask you just a quick question because we're running out of time rapidly here. Are we in the middle of a public process of negotiation for whether the acting president of Nevada State College gets to get the full-time job or whether she leaves?
Of course we are. You know, she was offered a job in Colorado, and I think that spurred interest in the Nevada higher education community about whether we should let this good person go. And so we're not in an optimal situation, either from a process standpoint or a public standpoint, but we've got a very, very good interim president there, and I hope we're able to keep her.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you so always for coming on the program.
Great,
we appreciate it. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
All right, Sam, let's check on some commercial buildings, see how the roofs are holding up.
Some business owners can't replace their roofs right now. That's where our free inspections really help out.
Hold on. Let's go inverted. We'll get a closer look.
What do you think?
Well, it certainly can use some preventive maintenance.
Yeah, that would definitely extend the life of this roof.
You ready to check the next one?
Maybe next time we can just take a ladder.
You watch your company's bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
Injuries on the job change your life. Get back on your feet with answers you need. Loud and loud, good news in bad times.
Are you looking for a new job? Then check out the News 4 Career Center.
Shelby Sheehan. News 4 maintains a public file of information on our children's programming. If you'd like to review it, contact us at 322-4444.
Attention parents and grandparents of young children. Gerber Life is accepting applications for their affordable grow-up plan. The grow-up plan gives your child $10,000 in whole life insurance protection now, then doubles automatically to $20,000 later at no extra cost. Free information will be sent to parents and grandparents who call now. Help give your child a head start for just pennies a day. Don't wait. Call now for free information.
Call 1-800-986-3117. Call now.
The Fact Finder Team, only on News 4.
I'm Joe Laub of Laub & Laub. Walk in Wednesday without an appointment. Call today, get in today. Get your worker injury answers free and fast. Walk in, call, or email. Real answers right now. Laub & Laub.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
back on Nevada Newsmakers. We have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Arn Johnson is here, Republican activist and conservative blogger. Michael Hackett is vice president of All Risk Consulting. And Dory Guy is chair of the Washoe Dems. Pleasure to have you all here.
Thank you.
The big fight in Tampa, Florida last night. Everybody ganging up on Rick Perry. Pretty interesting to watch.
Well, Rick Perry is clearly the front runner, and everybody's trying to attack him. I thought that, you know, there's a couple people that made a big deal about that vaccination issue that I think is just not going to be the big deal that it is. The attacks on him for Social Security are and continue to backfire. I saw a recent poll that showed that older voters are actually even more into Rick Perry than they are than younger voters and are not being scared away by that particular line of attack. It's a huge mistake to underestimate Rick Perry, I'm here to tell you.
Oh, it's also interesting. The New York Times in a front page story today, as Perry rises, GOP elite look towards Romney. They're a little concerned about Perry.
Well, I think they are, because I think they're trying to look ahead to the general election, who's going to be the best possible candidate to take on Obama. And that's always been the issue that we see in primaries, is how you position yourself to get your nomination, rather, in this particular instance, is really not necessarily how you have to position yourself to be successful in the general election. And I think there are serious concerns that Rick Perry is not going to be able to be successful in a general election.
We're taping this on the special election day.
Yes, we are.
In northern Nevada for CD2. So I know, Dory, that you were on the phone last night on behalf of your candidate, Kate Marshall. Does Kate belong at this point in time, based on her campaign, in the Republican or Democratic parties? Because she sure sounds like a Republican.
People have made mention of that to me, and I think deep down she's really a Democrat, but she, you know, I think at this particular point she's trying to please a little bit of everybody, and I really feel that she's probably giving her own thoughts at this point.
Well, and Sam, can I just, something that's really interesting that ties back to the national election with Rick Perry. Rick Perry's strength is that he takes bold, strong stances on stuff, says, this is what I believe, mm-hmm. take it or leave it. Kay Marshall's not doing that, and she's losing badly on account of it. She didn't have an argument. And so I think that, I mean, people said the same thing about Ronald Reagan in 1980, including Jimmy Carter, that's the guy we want to face because they didn't think he was electable in the general. I think that it is a lost art, and something that more candidates need to do is take a strong position. People respect that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I agree. You know,
I think Kate Marshall has taken some strong positions.
Yes, she has.
You know, but not all of them go with the grain of progressive Democrats. Mm-hmm. You know, look at
liberal
how she...
Liberal Democrats?
What other Democrat is for the retention of the Bush tax cuts? I mean, there's the first... I mean, is there anybody else in your...
That was a big surprise to a lot of Democrats.
But she's got to do what she's got to play that way, because the district CD2 is so Republican.
That's true.
And the bottom line, too, is she is in a no-lose situation, because nobody expects her to win just based on the demographics alone of that particular district. So why not go ahead and try these things and see how it's going to work
for
her?
Well, you know, everybody has put her down so much that she's not going to win. Let's wait till tonight and see.
Well, but here's the thing, and that's why I don't think she's going to win, and I think the registration numbers are showing that, is that if as a conservative voter, and even if I were a more moderate conservative voter, and not, I mean, I'm obviously going to vote for, I've already voted for Mark Amadei, but why would I vote for a Democrat who's espousing conservative positions when I know that she's going to get sucked along with her caucus as soon as she gets to Washington? If I want conservative positions, I'll vote for the conservative Republican. Why? I'll vote for the Republican. And so I think she would have done better. I think she would have done better in the polls. I don't think she would have won, but I think she would have done better had she just come out and been a liberal and shown a stark contrast between herself and Mark Amadei.
Your opinion?
I don't think a liberal could win this district, and
she's had a lot of
study before she went into this, and a lot of people have told her, Kate, this is the way you got to run, and it didn't work.
And I agree with you, Ray. It is a very difficult district as it's drawn now for a Democrat to win. We saw that the first time Jill Derby ran against Dean Heller. She ran as good a campaign as you could possibly run, and she came up with 3 points short or something. I think that was the margin of victory, and it is a very difficult district for a Democrat.
You know what hurts Kate Marshall, I think, is she doesn't really seem to have the backing of all the Democrats in the legislature.
Well, and also, I don't think she had the national money flowing in like Amadei had, and I think that's a huge difference.
The DCCC from day one said they weren't going to put any money up, and if that wasn't a sign.
Exactly.
Because they didn't feel a Democrat could win in this district ever. And that's unfortunate that she didn't get any money from the National.
Okay, so let's talk about Anthony Weiner's seat is up as well. And the polls are showing that the Republican has a very good chance in that race.
Right. I read that yesterday.
Both, I think, both the New York District 9 and Kate Marshall in Nevada District 2 are hurt by President Obama's poor popularity ratings. And I think that could play out where the GOP wins both.
It works the other way, too. I think that people are disgusted about what's going on in Congress right now, that, you know, nobody can come together and seem to do something together. And I think the problem with Obama was he tried to please both sides, and it really backfired on him. Some of the things that he's done, he's doing now, he probably should have done 2 years ago.
And I think Amade really drove that point home with that one ad that he has, where he has Kate Marshall saying something that is exactly what Obama had said. And I thought it was probably the most effective ad that Amade ran in his campaign, and it drove the point home.
And he saved it for the last. That was his last,
right.
You know. Put his mom on stage first.
Well, I mean, Obama's unpopular because his policies are failures, and his policies are far-left policies, and that's why they're failures. And he will continue to remain unpopular. Well, I'm just here to tell you, he will remain unpopular as long as his policies continue to fail and as long as unemployment remains where it is, and that's just the reality.
I bet he beats a Republican.
We'll see about
that.
Yeah,
I bet he does, too.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Do you suffer from knee pain? Are you having trouble finding a physician that understands how to treat your knee condition? The Osteoarthritis Centers of America are now accepting new patients for their FDA-approved non-surgical treatment. Most major insurances are accepted, including Medicare. The first 30 callers will receive a free knee consultation. So call 1-877-999-KNEE today and be one of the first 30 callers. Call 1-877-999-KNEE today.
Finally, a place to stay and play in historic Virginia City. It's the best of the Old West at the 67-room Victorian-style Silverland Inn & Suites. Now you can spend the night and enjoy a different world just a short ride from Reno. Indoor heated pool and hot tub, special events and activities are all available for your enjoyment. Stay Sunday through Thursday and a standard room is only $69. Call the Silverland Inn & Suites and discover a new way to stay and play in the Old West.
Reno Auto Sound is now serving you better than ever. We sell numerous high-tech audio and video products from Pioneer, JBL, Kenwood, Infiniti, JL Audio, and many others. We also offer auto alarms, DVD players, navigation systems, and window tinting for just $99 on any car. Or how about installing a remote car start for just $199 or a brand-name CD player for just $99? We can install any equipment purchased at Reno Auto Sound or elsewhere.
I'm heading down to Reno Auto Sound. Reno Auto Sound.
Now, Life Alert can also protect you in a fire emergency. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of emergency, Life Alert is there for you.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. And that's why I wear one.
All senior citizens should have Life Alert.
Please call 1-800-847-3113 for free information about Life Alert or visit us on the web at the address on your screen.
As always, you watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Thanks, Sam. Tomorrow's guest is Carol Velardo of the Nevada Taxpayers Association. She will tell you about taxes. The devil is in the details.
We'll see you then. Thanks for watching and listening.